Amen. Tonight, 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. So we're almost done. Just 4 and 5. Peter is addressing Christians who have been going through various trials. And we continue to go through various trials in life. Christians are not immune. We have trials and tribulations. But as Peter's been sharing, we Christians have a real hope. And everything we go through, we have hope. Hope while here and hereafter, because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. And you know what? Jesus has us. You know, we're told no one is able to snatch us out of his hand. Isn't that great? We don't have to be afraid. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have been born again. We're blessed by God, and we are saved by God, and he keeps us. That's good. God keeps us. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God who lives and abides forever. We are born again, and we're going to live forever. And you must be born again. Now, I'm just reading this week. In John 3, 7, I believe it says, Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus then said, how can a man be born again? Can he come forth from his mother's womb? And then Jesus said, you must be born again. How does a person be born again? By dying to everything in his life. I says, I never thought about that. You can't be born until you're dead, until you're not alive. He said, you must be born again. And so this one commentator said, you must, how can a man be born again? How can you answer Nicodemus' question? How can a man be born again? By dying to this old life. Then you can be born again. So you see what Jesus was saying? You have to become a new creature. You just don't have religion or a faith. You need to be born again, so you must die first to this life, crucified with Christ. As a Christian while here, we live in the new life. The old life is temporary. 1 Peter 2. Verse 1 and 2, we were told, lay aside, get rid of all this ugly stuff that's not loving, and then be in the Word of God and grow. That's good counsel. Now, once we receive him as our Lord and Savior, we become part of the church. One becomes part of this family of God, the body of Christ, and you receive many benefits when you're in this family. So we're part of the family of God. We're part of the church family. And that's why he told us to love one another. We want to be a functional family, not a dysfunctional family. The way we stay functional is to love one another. See, we want to be a loving family. When we're born again, we become part of the church family. We're the church. We're a family. Jesus is the head. And Peter addresses the church here, the body of Christ. Verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So first of all, we come to him. To be born again, we come to him. Coming to him as to a living stone. It all starts in the Christian life in the Christian family by coming to Jesus. One doesn't just join, but one chooses once they are called or drawn by the Lord. We respond to that by faith, and we must come to Jesus. Not religion or movement or a cult or a culture. We come to Jesus. And he's our Lord and Master. So a person must come to Jesus for salvation, for forgiveness of sin, and eternal life. We come to Jesus. When one comes in faith to Jesus, confessing, repenting, believing, trusting, they become part of the church. And you get the benefits of the church family. But it's like coming to a living stone. It's really a foundation. In life, without Jesus, you have no foundation. We believe everything that comes across that's popular. That's what people do. But when we come to Jesus, we're on a foundation, a living stone. Jesus is the living stone. Come to him as a living stone. He was raised from the dead and lives. And he's the head of the church. And on him, the living stone, this church family, this church is built on this foundation. And it tells us here in verse 4, Jesus was rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. Jesus was rejected by men. From the beginning, people rejected the Son of God who came to save them. Let's turn to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Isaiah speaks of that, prophesies of that. Isaiah 28, 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. It really means will not run away again when you come to him. But you notice we have a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a stone for a foundation. He was rejected by men, even though he's the cornerstone for life. There was no room for him at the inn. Rejected. His own people, Israel, rejected him as the Messiah. In John 1, it tells us he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Remember, Jesus wept over Jerusalem? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Well, it's like we weep over people that don't know the Lord. They didn't come to him. Jesus was rejected. He was mocked, beaten, crucified. And even until today, people reject and mock Jesus. They reject him. They use his name in vain. And you know, people reject us because of Jesus. And it hurts. Imagine how it hurt the Lord. But it tells us here, he was rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. It doesn't matter what the world or popular opinion says about Jesus. What does God the Father say about Jesus? That's what matters. Chosen by God and precious. Men don't use that word very much, do they? Precious. A lot of women use that word, precious. Oh, you're so precious. This term can be used by men and women when it comes to Jesus. He's precious. It's okay to use it. He's precious. My precious Lord. Through him, men and women are saved for all eternity. You know, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. God the Father chose Jesus to be the Savior of the world way back. 1 Peter 1:20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. before the foundation of the world, God said, he's the foundation, he's the way, the only foundation for life, the head of the church, the one which the church is built on. So a person must come to Jesus and live. There is no other way to experience abundant life except on Jesus, the cornerstone. Remember, Jesus said that to come. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love to read that verse, especially when you're troubled. Don't you wish everyone you love that is in trouble or needs help would just listen to this? Say, hey, listen to Jesus, what he's telling you, saying, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, why are you going through life this way? Come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. His burden is light. You know, his yoke is easy. You will find rest for your souls. I wish everybody would just accept that. We could just close our eyes tonight and just keep meditating on that verse. Come to me and rest. All you who labor and are heavy laden. And then we'd all start to feel better and better and better. We don't have to meditate or chant on some worldly thing. Just come to me and rest. John 7, if you'd like to turn there. So a person must come to that foundation, Jesus. John chapter 7, verse 37. There's a lot of people looking for things. They're thirsty. And on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Boy, that's another one. Wow. I'm not satisfied in life. Well, come to Jesus. If you thirst, come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, speaking concerning the Spirit who he would send. Thirst for life, peace, joy, come to Jesus. Now, when one comes in faith to Jesus, they come, as we're told here in verse 4, to a precious stone, a foundation becomes. And we, believers, we're going to read, become stones of the church as the church is built up in us. Remember, he's the foundation, so what are we? We're the stones that are being built on that foundation. You're part of the building. I'm part of the building. Well, that's expensive real estate. Gosh, Jesus, the foundation, and his church being built on it. Wow. That we come to this place the church is built on. And the benefits are tremendous for those that are part of the body of Christ. See, God is building upon Jesus. That's why Peter's laying it out here. Hey, there's this foundation. And you have to come to Jesus. He's the foundation. And then you become part of this building, this family, which God builds on. And then he's going to take us all to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we're going to be special people in heaven. The church. A special group. The church. You know, in verse 9, when we get there next time, we're going to see that we are his special people, a royal priesthood, his special people. God counts us as special. So God builds upon the foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ, and he, in this day, has his people, the church, his own special people that are being built up on this foundation, all built on Jesus Christ. Now, only Christians are part of this people, this special group, one who have the privilege to call God Daddy, Father. We can call him Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation in life that anyone can lay. People try all kinds of things. Not going to work. Jesus made that very clear to his disciples that this is the way it's going to happen. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew 16. Verse 13. Remember this? When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Well, who is the rock that he's going to build his church on? What Peter just said, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "That's what I'm going to build my church on. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. I am Jesus, the Messiah. You're the church. And this is what I'm going to build my church on." And when he says nothing will prevail against it, today we can say amen. It's still here. Isn't that incredible? With all the persecution, millions of martyrs, 2,000 years later, still standing, following Jesus through persecution, death, attack, Satan, still standing. The church, why is it standing? It's on a living stone. It's on a sure foundation. It's never going to end. Jesus was rejected by men, but chosen by God. Now, it's a blessing to be part of the church, to be on a solid foundation. And he gets into our part in verse 5. "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You born-again believers are living stones being built up a spiritual house. We're born again through believing in the Word of God. We're living stones on a living foundation. And we are the building stones. Did you ever have building blocks when you were a kid? Or did you ever, maybe you still work with Legos or something, but you build, you know, upon a foundation. And that's what he's saying. He's the foundation, and we're the ones that are being built upon this foundation to a spiritual house, being built into a spiritual house. It's called the church. We always think of, when we say church, as a building, right? Well, it's going to truly be that spiritually. The family of God. Coming to him as living stones, we're being built up a spiritual house. We're building stones. Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We're in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We all fit. Each piece is perfect. You and I are special, special stones. We're in this building. That's why we're told to love one another. Why Peter started that way in chapter 1. Because we want to be a great functional spiritual family. We're being built up. He's building this beautiful spiritual house, the temple of God. Believers are the living stones in his building. We all live in the same house. We're all being built on that foundation. We're all the same. That's what you call a close family, with a lot of relatives. Wow. We're all brothers and sisters. Today, as people receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, another stone is added to the building. I wonder how close it is to completion. I don't know. But another stone is added right now somewhere around the world. And they fit. You fit. Some people say, well, I don't feel like I am like other Christians. I don't feel like I fit in or whatever. You fit in God's plan. You fit. That fits perfect. And there's more that are even being added today. So we must be like-minded, working from the same plans, same blueprints. I read a story this week where this contractor was going to build his building, many stories, and the first floor went perfect. Everything fit. It was done well. They worked on the second story, nothing fit. Everything was wrong. They came to find out that the blueprints were, the plans were changed, and the group on the second floor was still working from the old plans. We don't want to work on the old plans. We're a new person in Christ. We live our life the new way so that we all fit. Now, this isn't a recent story. This was in a commentary I read. But I thought that was neat. That, wow, they were working on the old plans and nothing fit. I says, wow, that's us. We got to love one another and work on the same plans as all are being added. We don't want to change. We can have differences that aren't doctrinal and little things that we shouldn't argue over, but we have to work from the same plans so that we fit. Otherwise, there's trouble. So in verse 5, back to our text, you're living stones being built up a spiritual house. We're a holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices. But you notice, spiritual sacrifices? It doesn't just say sacrifices. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And the temple, sanctuary, then the temple, where God's people, the Jews, worshiped, sacrifices were offered to God. We can understand that. Animal sacrifice, blood sacrifice. In the Old Testament period, God's people had a priest, a priesthood. In the Old Testament, the priesthood to serve God was limited to the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron. Very limited. Who could do that? Offer up the sacrifices to God. I'll bet you there were people that would say, oh, I wish I could do that. Dad, can I go in there one day and offer up a sacrifice to God? Don't you ever feel like you would like to do something for God? I just bless God. Well, they used to offer physical sacrifices, animals, but only the high priest could approach the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. And very restricted. We are so blessed as a Christian to be what it tells us here, a holy priesthood. We come to Jesus, and through him, We have access to the Holy of Holies, to God the Father. Tonight you can enter his presence and pray. Talk with him, and he answers you. And there's only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. We have him, so we have this access. Like Jesus said, I am the door. He's the door. We can come in through him. We're a holy priesthood through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, if you'd like to turn back there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We can enter in. We have a holy priesthood. We can walk in. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly, in both places, we boldly can walk into the Holy of Holies. If someone tried to do that in a temple, they would die. Through Jesus, we can come directly to God and receive mercy and grace. But also it tells us in verse 5 here of our text, we're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We can't just say, here, take this. We are to be offering up sacrifices to God. We don't have to watch a priest do it for us. We can partake of that. Now, we don't offer up animals, but spiritual sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God. You say, well, what are these spiritual sacrifices? Well, get your pen and pencil out. I'm going to give you a few. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. How come I get in Romans so much when my wife's going through that book? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So there it is. There's a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. A holy, acceptable sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. So one we see here, our whole being, our bodies, are an acceptable living sacrifice as the priesthood we can offer to God to bring glory to God. Our bodies as a living sacrifice to be used by God. That's one that's acceptable. Next one, Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Here's another one. An acceptable, well-pleasing to God sacrifice. What was it? A gift. One Christian giving to another. I have all in abound, Paul writes, full, but I've received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, and that was the sacrifice. So what is an acceptable sacrifice we as a royal priesthood can offer to God? A love gift to others. Giving to others. We see money and other material things here. We share with those serving God or the church, they are an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Another one, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What's another spiritual sacrifice? Praise to God, the fruit of our lips, where we give thanks to his name. The praise of our lips to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He loves that. Isn't that awesome? These are things we can all do. Another one, Hebrews 13, verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such what? Sacrifices, God is well pleased. There's another well-pleasing sacrifice we can give to God. People say, well, what can I do for God? Well, we're going through things. Look up more. You know, there are things that are in Scripture that are well-pleasing to God. This one, in verse 16, is doing good and sharing with others. You know, we read that in Galatians. As you see opportunity, do good to others, especially to those of the household of God. That's a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. Doing good and sharing with others. Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15, 16. Paul writes, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering, here's the sacrifice, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What's he talking about? The sacrifice of service and ministry. Paul ministering to the unbelievers, the Gentiles. One of the acceptable sacrifices to God we can present is sharing the gospel and bringing people to Christ. That's what he wants us to do. Isn't that glorious? Evangelism. Sharing with people. And Paul writes, I want to bring this offering of the Gentiles, and he's speaking of those that don't know God, to Jesus, and that it might be an acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You've probably done a lot of these things, and you're saying, wow, I didn't even know it. I'm a royal priesthood, and I've been offering sacrifices to God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. See, because you just do it, because the love of God is in you. And yet you don't think you're doing anything. It reminds me of when Jesus said, you know, you didn't do this and you didn't do this and you didn't do this, so depart from me. And they're going to say, when did we ever see where we didn't do it? But the other side, he says, you're going to enter in because you did this and you did this and you did this. And they say, when did I ever do that? That's the way it is. When it's spontaneous and supernatural from the fruit of the Spirit. You say, wow, I am a royal priesthood offering these sacrifices to God. So we come to Jesus. We're part of this spiritual house which is being built by God on the living stone. So it's important that we keep this house beautiful and that the church looks great. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for being part of your work. We offer it to you tonight, Lord, our lips, praising you as we worship now. We know this is holy and acceptable. We thank you that we're allowed to give you something and bless you. Let us be caught up in the Spirit as we do this, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.